This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Here we go. It's Monday, April 8th, 2024, the night after, the day after the night of WrestleMania Sunday, and my God, do I have some things to talk about with you, obviously, as we came off the Cody Rhodes victory that a lot of us expected. A lot of good and a lot of bad that I have to say about that. I am a professional complainer, so I have some things to say, and one right off the bat, but I think a lot of you will join me in this disappointment, is no Austin. Okay. Now that's really not the biggest problem I had, but it was a big disappointment. Everything at the end of the match went is almost exactly as I had thought it would, with Jay neutralizing Jimmy and then Solo being neutralized by Cena. And then you're thinking, okay, here we go. All right, Glass is going to crash. Here we go. And then we get the gong. Instead of Glass crashing, we get a gong, which, like, I feel kind of like a little baby complaining that it's The Undertaker, one of the greatest of all time, instead of Austin. But I don't understand the need for Taker and what his beef is with The Rock or with the Bloodline. Sure, he faced Roman at WrestleMania 33, which was how many effing years ago? You know, like, I don't understand that. And hey, if you're going to do an Undertaker appearance, can we not get him in his, you know, Saturday afternoon attire? Can we get him in the actual attire? Like, if it's WrestleMania, can we at least get Taker as Taker? If you're going to do it just for a moment. But it was weird, but also the crowd popped. It felt a little random that The Undertaker, who felt like a last-minute injection from something that happened with Austin that fell through. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Austin makes infinitely more sense to be a part of this rather than Undertaker. But again, we'll break this all down, and maybe they're planning something bigger for Austin. Maybe they're planning, hey, it's Monday Night Raw tonight, guys. Maybe they're planning something with him at that point, if you're looking for it. I don't think they are, because 40 would be the time to bring him out, not the night after. But there's a small chance, and it just doesn't make sense to me that they wouldn't have done that at that time. But again, a lot of it didn't have to do with the legends. A lot of it had to do with Cody and his victory. And we'll get into that in just a few minutes here. But first, thank you, everybody, for joining us here on the WWE Podcast. We have been very busy, as you could imagine, and tonight it's even busier because we're bringing on Anthony DeMarco for a current state of WWE, and I really have no clue what the hell we're going to talk about. It's kind of a slow time in wrestling. Not a lot happening, but we'll try to find something. I mean, we'll manufacture some kind of conversation somehow tonight in the current state. But welcome to the new patrons, Ismail, Alamin, and Chris. Welcome, you guys, to the show. I hope you enjoy all the ad-free stuff. I popped in for a little bit on the Patreon side of things on the Discord server, and you guys were going crazy. I mean, it's just so much fun to watch all of you debate and talk and get excited, and it's a great place to be if you want to join other wrestling fans too. So patreon.com/WWE podcast, or you can go to Apple and get yourself an ad-free experience there as well. My God. Okay. Where to begin? Well, outside of WrestleMania, there's a, and I won't talk about it up front because everyone wants to talk WrestleMania, and that's fine. But on the backside of the show, I had a little beef with Ricochet on Twitter. So we'll get to that at the end of the show. But let's talk about the Cody win. I'm not even going to wait, okay, because there's just so much to break down. Yes, we'll talk about everything else. AJ Styles and Io Sky and Bayley. Yes, we'll get there. One overarching concern I have with the show, and this is for night one and night two, can we tone down the amount of kickouts of finishes? It's mind-blowing. I understand that at WrestleMania, that's what happens, but when it also happens the other 11 months of the year, it doesn't make WrestleMania special when you have kickouts, because how many times do you see somebody get hit with a finish and you're like, wow, it's at least going to take two or three? We shouldn't think like that, but we've been conditioned to think like that now, and it's been absurd. How many, by the way, did anybody count how many Crossroads were hit last night? It had to have been seven. I'm not kidding. And then the dude has to hit, because he doesn't trust his own finish, is hit three in a row. I mean, that's been a criticism of mine throughout the whole show. It was just like, hey, how many times do we all have to hit finishers and kick out of finishes and kick out of double finishes and kick out of triple finishes? And it takes four to pin somebody. I get it's WrestleMania, but how much further are we going to go? I mean, at some point you need to re-educate the fans to bring it back down and bring it back down to the point where, oh, wow, yeah, a finish, actually one finisher finishes a match. Well, that, what? Even an RKO was kicked out of, which is a money finish. I don't understand, again, how much further can we take it? Because now, especially at Mania, we're going to think, but it's going to take three or four. We shouldn't think like that. Why? Though, I don't know, the name of the move that you're performing is called the finisher, so it should do exactly what you say. But nonetheless, overall, I did enjoy the show. Night two was, I thought, much better, and the crowd was much better. It was warmer. I think they also took to heart the criticism of night one, which was kind of a weird silence. Night two, you guys amped it up, and it was a lot of fun to listen to. That felt like WrestleMania to me. It's almost like Saturday was a dress rehearsal for night two, but again, night one had some fun moments, and I broke that all down with Chrissy, who joined us yesterday for our in-person review, and you guys should check that out. It was well done, and I'm jealous of everything she got to experience. No Austin, though. Sorry. We're all sad. Okay, let's get into Cody Roman. Now, the entrance music, by the way, done for Roman Reigns, was awesome. I'm usually not a fan of the bands coming out. It doesn't sound always quite right. I don't know. I generally don't find that an upgrade when you have the band who does your song come out to do it for WrestleMania. But in this case, the orchestra, the Philadelphia Orchestra, I think did a phenomenal job. And I actually thought it sounded better than Roman's typical song that's done on the track that they play. So this was just an upgrade, I thought, for Roman Reigns in a big way in his entrance. And Cody Rhodes, sure, I mean, he had his mask come out, it's fine, the flag's on fire. I still don't understand why he's the Nightmare if he's always trying to please the Dream. Never understood that. No one has ever explained why he's the Nightmare. How is he a Nightmare? He's just a smiling buffoon, in my mind. Yeah, here we go with the Cody insults already, right? We got a lot more coming. And if you thought that last night was an emotional disaster, wait till tonight. Because if you wanted to see Cody Rhodes cry, we'll get a whole lot of that tonight. We're going to get a whole lot of just our champion, our masculine champion, crying in front of the world. I can't wait. I can't wait to see the statue of his dad in the ring. He puts the statue on his dad's shoulder. I can't wait to see his mother in the ring. Everyone talking about what it means. Oh, my God. Oh, I mean, we'll get to the end of the match, which was just, to me, a vomit fest. And I know a lot of you felt, well, he's deserving. And look, he is. And I just want to say off the top, I thought he deserved it. Yes, I do. He deserved it. It was also the right move. It was the correct booking decision to have Cody Rhodes win. It was the best decision. I can also say at the same time that, again, I don't like his character. Y'all know that. But I don't know how some people can't decipher the fact that, oh, you must be so mad. I'm not mad. We expected this. And it's still the right decision. I'm mature. See, here's the concept. Maturity is the concept here that I'm trying to portray to some people that just feel, oh, I can't wait. You're going to be so mad. Like, I don't want to see Cody as champion, but I can see the overarching picture and realize that it's the best decision for the company moving forward to have Cody win. So I would have, even if it was up to me and Triple H called me and said, hey, bro, you know, it's up to you. Is Cody going to win tomorrow night or is he not? I would have said, no, he needs to win. I'm being serious. Again, do I like his character? Do I like he's a feminine man? Do I like the fact that he's crying and he was held up like he won the, you know, state championship at a football game in high school? No, I don't. I think it was ridiculous. And all the wrestlers out there and Samantha Irvin choking up again, to me is it's real emotion, but I have my opinion about it. And I thought it was just a vomit fest. I know a lot of you disagree and that's cool. That's cool. See, but I also recognize it was the right decision. See the difference? Where somebody coming on here and just berating his character, it's terrible. No, it's the right decision. But let's move forward. As the entrances took place here, again, really enjoyed Roman's a lot, actually, more than normal. You knew that The Rock and Solo and Jimmy weren't far behind, but they didn't come out right away. And, you know, we did get a lot of great wrestling with these two, as expected. Roman was finally able to take the Cody Cutter. Here's some of the action inside the ring here. I'll give you some descriptions. We got, by the way, Prime got a lot of abuse, but also a lot of exposure over the weekend. I actually tried Prime yesterday, and somebody put up a sign that said, "Hi, Prime is too sweet," and it is. It's no sugar, but my God, if you don't like fake sugar, this is a horrific drink. If you don't mind fake sugar, this is going to be the best drink you've ever had. I find it okay. Again, I would drink it in a pinch. It's not sugar, so that actually makes it better, but it does taste incredibly sweet. The flavor is overwhelming, even though there's no sugar. So anyway, that said, here's some action. Cody joined Reigns at ringside, pulled the table out from underneath. Reigns then hit a drive-by kick. Remember Reigns putting the table back underneath the ring? That was great. A nice little touch to piss off the crowd. I mean, it was just really funny. How many times you see wrestlers not just throw something away, like a chair out of the ring, but you see somebody put the table back? That was really funny. The kendo stick got involved. We got a fisherman suplex for a two count by Roman. We got, Cody clearing the announce tables, which got a ton of abuse over the weekend, too. I mean, whoever was putting those announce tables back together is a magician, because they were destroying the monitors and the tablets and the wires. And, like, I don't know how either of them stayed on the air. The announcers, I have no idea. They were constantly being destroyed. It's just, like, wow. So we got... let's see here. Reigns powerbombing Cody through the broadcast table. Reigns threw Cody back inside the ring, rush behind him, hit him with a Superman punch, near fall. Reigns charged for a spear, but Cody caught him with a kick, hit the Cody Cutter, set up for crossroads. I mean, it was just kind of that same combo of go for spear, kick, set up for crossroads, and which is ultimately what the finish was. But we did then get... Cody hitting crossroads and setting him up for it again, because Cody doesn't trust his own finish, which is, again, it shouldn't be called a finish at that point. But Jimmy appeared, and in ascending order of henchmen to boss is what we get here, and it made sense. And Reigns hit Cody with a Superman punch after Jimmy kicked Cody, and then Jay comes out, they brawl, and they put each other through a table out the outside of the ring, which looked dangerous. My God. I look for them and I'm like, it's funny that those like 2 minutes where they were brawling was more entertaining than their 12 minutes that they had in a one-on-one match the night before. So I just hope that this program with Jimmy and Jay doesn't continue. It can't, please. Based on what we've seen on night one with their match, and they had all the time in the world to prepare and plan. And if they don't have the chemistry, they just don't have it. Please, for the love of God, Jimmy and Jay needs to go away. But this was expected. And then Solo showed up after we are about to get another Cody victory and did exactly what happened last year with a Samoan spike. John Cena comes out, and a lot of people expected that, but it was still a massive pop. And we got Cena clotheslining Sokoa, hitting Reigns with an AA, putting Solo through the broadcast with an AA. And then The Rock comes out and joins Cena in the ring. You could feel the tension there. I mean, remember their whole program from, 12 years ago, whatever it was. So that was a cool moment with The Rock and John Cena coming face to face. John Cena ends up getting a Rock Bottom. He also needs to, by the way, just do something about the bald spot. I mean, he's got all this money. He can't just, take care of the bald spot. I don't know. I mean, it's coming from somebody who has a hairline that is as horrific as it gets, which is why I don't have any. But it's just coming from one bad hairline to another. I think I can speak on this from the one person in the bad hairline community. Dude, get it, please. I mean, if you just you can easily get implants or you do hair plugs. I don't know why he's not fixing it. It's not endearing, but hey, I think that wasn't even close to the point here. Rock Bottom, and then Cody is about to get lashed by The Rock, and you're thinking, all right, here we go, right? Because it's the final boss. Cena's taken out. Jay's taken out. The only one left is Austin. Let's go, right? You're waiting for that glass crash, and we get a gong, And I hate, that's maybe the first time that I've been disappointed hearing the Undertaker's gong. And he appears in his Saturday afternoon attire or his the one man show or the dead man show that he does. It's like he just rolled out from, you know, the bar and ends up hitting a choke slam on The Rock, which is like fine. Like it is interesting. I don't think anyone saw the Undertaker choke slamming The Rock. I did think there was a possibility of Taker showing up and doing something. I didn't think it would be in this position. But again, there must have been something that happened with Austin because something bad happened. I don't know if he accidentally injured himself or maybe Austin just said, I'm not interested in that. But Austin saying he's not interested in hitting a stunner on The Rock in WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia where they have history, it doesn't make sense to me. Something fell through, something major happened in Austin's life. I don't know. I can't think of anything else or reasons why, because the company absolutely reached out to him. That's been reported everywhere. But maybe again, they're planning something longer term for Austin at WrestleMania 41. It's possible. Hell, it's possible. And here's also what's really possible that I didn't think of until yesterday with Brock still in the company, right? Brock Lesnar is still in the company. Brock Lesnar is active. He's at home, according to Triple H, doing Brock stuff, which means he's sitting on his farm behind his 12-foot fence. And I'm jealous because that's how I want to live, is behind a 12-foot fence with nobody. I would love that. And that's great. But you know what also is great? The Rock is active in the company, and he's not going anywhere through WrestleMania 41, from what I understand, outside of maybe taking a few months off to film or whatever he's doing. But The Rock is active. He's ready to go. Brock Lesnar's active. He's still in the company. What about a Brock-Rock matchup? Now, I talked about that for years, but has there ever been a more possible time for this to happen? The Rock is in shape and ready to go. Brock Lesnar's always in shape and ready to go. Now, how you get there, I don't know. Is there a possibility that they could cross paths before SummerSlam? I'm just thinking, right? I'm spitballing here. Yes, Rock Roman's going to happen. It'll probably happen at WrestleMania 41, but I don't know. I'm just thinking, hey, you have these two megastars in the company. Both are ready to go. What are we doing? So again, totally beside the point of this match, but I'm thinking to myself, wait, no one's making this connection here. Like, would you not want to see Rock Brock? You can't tell me that wouldn't be a mega match. They have history back to SummerSlam 2002. I don't know. Just throwing things at the wind here, but choke slam on The Rock, which leads to Cody getting a nearly speared by Roman after, oh, by the way, Seth Rollins, I forgot about Seth. Oh, almost did. He comes out as a Shield member, and that's where Roman, many people believe, lost the match, is instead of choosing to hit Cody with a chair, he chooses to pay Rollins back for his stabbing in the back, the infamous stabbing in the back of the Shield with Evolution, and when they had their program many years ago, and Roman did to Seth what Seth did to Roman. How many years ago was that? My God. Over what, like a decade ago, but very apropos, very poetic. I love the moment. And that's when many believe that Roman lost instead of choosing to hit Cody. So Seth goes down and lays there like he's asleep. And then again, that Undertaker whole deal. So I missed Seth. So my bad. So in the Shield garment and all that. Now, how many people thought it was Jon Moxley? I did. I'm sitting there going, okay, well, it could be Seth. Seth did say he would be the Shield for Cody. And so he followed through on that to a degree. He would be the Shield for Cody. I guess that's very funny that, or very clever that he literally meant, I will be the Shield for you, meaning I will be the Shield again for you. And that was really cool that he actually meant it literally. So that was really fun. And then you have, again, Taker do his thing, and then Cody blocks the spear again and hits his three crossroads, 1, 2, 3. And you know what I'm just gonna play a little bit of the finish of this, because I want you to hear it again, which is emotional, and I think it's worth replaying. So let's take a listen.
Thank you. overcome with emotion.
We all are. We all are.
All right. Well, there you go. So Samantha Irvin, who understandably is emotional, as Corey said. Yeah, it is emotional. But the problem is the emotion continued with everyone that looked at Cody Rhodes as if, you know, he's the second coming of Christ. You know, tears flowing down their face. He's hugging cameramen. He's hugging, you know, fans. He's hugging Cole, who is emotional. He's, you know, everybody, you know, making out with everybody, right? And it's like, I understand the emotion. I get it. But then you have like LA Knight coming out there. You have Randy Orton coming out there. You have Kevin, like, everyone's coming out to congratulate him. Like, this is, it's the moment. Oh, it's just Cody's moment. Like, I don't care who won. I don't care who this is. It makes it worse that it's Cody. But why the hell? What are we doing here? This is seriously what you do in middle school when you're putting people on your shoulders and, you know, propping them up like they just hit the winning field goal at the homecoming. And you know, like, what the hell are you? This is, I'm sorry. This was, again, I know emotional, and a lot of you are going to disagree with me. And if anybody's in the company, I'm sure you are sitting there going, this guy is a dumb, like a total dumbass. Yeah, sure. Fine. Think that all you want. But when the fans eventually turn on your champion, which they will, then don't come crying to me as if you've been crying all along, right? So I just, to me, you know, then we get to watch him cry again tonight on Raw, which is going to be horrific, and talking about his daddy. I don't need to hear about his daddy more. You know, it's so funny that he wants to talk about separating himself from his dad's career, separating himself. It's hard to be under the shadow of your dad because you're, you know, trying to distance yourself and make your own path. Yet at the same time, his entire story is built on his dad. Yeah, how does that work exactly? Right? The whole premise is, I'm going to finish the story for my dad, right? Yeah, I have a lisp because he has a lisp, and that's exactly, it is still distracting to me. It's not his fault. It's just still distracting. I think it still isn't got great for his promos. So hate me even more, but it's true. Okay. I'm not of the belief that you can tell me that you're trying to distance yourself from the very thing you won't stop mentioning. So you can't do it both ways, right? You can't. So this was, again, I'm understanding of the moment. I understand why people got emotional. It's not like I'm sitting here going, this doesn't make any sense. No, I get it. I understand. But like, what are we doing having all the wrestlers come out, like giving some kind of, you know, throwing the roses at the feet of Cody Rhodes for what? Being just a nice guy? Because he's just a nice guy. He's nice to everyone. I bet he is. I truly bet he is. But are we really going to now supersede niceness and kindness backstage for, you know, what this moment actually means and what it should look like, which is not the wrestlers just putting all their other feuds aside that they've had throughout the night and coming out together to just applaud him? What? Like, Cody Rhodes, yeah, okay, because of his dad? Why? I know I'm going to get a ton of heat for this. I don't care. If you think I'm going to backtrack on this too, you've got another thing coming. Oh, he'll see the light. You know, no. Right decision. Vomit-inducing presentation. It was. Again, I know I'm in like the 1% here because of the crowd reaction. But you heard some small boos. It's very, 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 very small, but they were there for Cody. But generally, the fans embraced the hell out of it. I understand. And I know a lot of you listening are just going, I completely disagree. And hey, you're entitled to that, just like I'm entitled to my opinion here. Right decision, but I don't like this feminine, just watered down, soft, nice version of our champion. And I know we'll get the declaration tonight that not only is this for his dad, he'll put the, you know, maybe again, the statue of his dad will be in the ring and he'll be like, I know you can't see me, dad, but you know, this championship is not going to be taken away from you this time. And he'll put the championship on the waist or the shoulder of the statue, or his mom will be in the ring, and it'll be this fun feel-good, and everyone's crying, and, French kissing each other, and everyone's feeling good. Of course, a heel will interrupt, and we'll find out who Cody's first opponent is. But, I mean, if Cody Rhodes doesn't open Monday Night Raw, I will stop this podcast. There's just no chance. Cody Rhodes opens Raw, as he should. But I don't know. I'm really not looking forward to the whole love fest that we have to endure over the next several weeks, especially tonight, which is going to be the worst of it. And it, you know, he'll also declare on top of it that he's going to be a fighting champion. He's going to be a present champion. You know, he's going to be all these things that Roman wasn't. So, and the thing is, my fear is this championship reign lasts probably a year. I would say the only real chance that he loses it is at next year's WrestleMania. I think that's the real, for, I mean, literally, we're looking at least a year. You don't want to go too long with baby faces because the fans will eventually turn on them. With the heel, they're already hating you, so who cares how long it is, right? So I just think that this is going to be at least a year. We're looking at WrestleMania 41 against, I don't know, maybe Seth next year. Maybe look at the Seth Cody next year. We could already think about next year now. Rock Roman, Brock Gunther maybe for 41, if they're not going to do it before then. Seth Cody, although Gunther could inject himself immediately into the world title picture, that's a fun one we're going to get to. I know we haven't even talked about any of their matches, but this is such an overwhelming topic. I have to spend some time on it. I'll just sum it with this. The right decision was made with Cody Rhodes winning, but the presentation of this feminine, soft, crybaby champion is not what's appealing to me. And I think some other fans agree. I know a lot of you don't. What's wrong with a feminine man? Well, he's a man, so he should act like a man. Okay, well, there's number one. Basics. But, you know, I don't like soft babyface champions. He's a soft, well-manicured babyface champion that is going to be just insufferable in his promos over the next, I don't know how long now. Now he gets to say, are you guys entertained? Did I put a smile on your face? Well, gosh golly, thank goodness. Yeah, I can see it. So I'll get off my bandwagon now. I think I've said everything I need to say. I'm going to get some feedback on it, and that's cool. You know, I'll get some feedback from people who are very passionate on the other side. And that's what wrestling's all about, right? It's wrestling, guys. But as Cole said, professional, damn it, I love professional wrestling. And it is very much a professional wrestling show. It was last night. It was very much a Vince McMahon-less show, which a lot of it showed throughout the show, saying the word wrestling, saying the word professional wrestling. Those were the banned words that a lot of people said. And you know, also one thing I will say, not about Cody, but about Roman. Roman Reigns deserves a lot of credit. And yes, I was advocating for him to lose the belt a long time ago. I still think he should have. You know why? Because we would have been able to get the Rock Roman match without the whole debacle of the championship being involved. So I think you could have solved a lot of problems a long time ago by having, say, Sami Zayn win at last year's Chamber. I still believe that was the time to do it, but they didn't, and here we are. So, but Roman deserves a lot of credit. You know, again, with how he carried the company, yes, he wasn't present, and I still think that was a mistake for a lot of the time. You know, adding and padding the stats of how long he was champion at 1,316 days, you know, like, you really padded a lot of that time with time off. And I don't need him in there every week. I don't need him competing on every PLE, but it became egregious where he would compete twice in you know, a 6-month period, and it was just unacceptable. So yeah, sure, he was champion for that long, but his stats are padded like crazy. And we learned that the Hulk Hogan statistic is not one that they were willing to, you know, to get to with the sacrifice they would have had to make of not allowing Cody to win last night. So. All right, well, the other person that was kind of a surprise star of the night is Samantha Irvin, and she certainly had her moments, obviously the Cody moment, but boy, she was screaming and yelling, and she's a interesting character. I don't know, I don't think it's performative, although maybe part of it is, knowing she's getting a lot of attention lately. She always has somebody recording her at ringside, by the way, too, so it's a little bit, I really like what she brings to the table. She's a very good announcer. Kind of maybe the most popular ring announcer we've had in modern time. Yeah, we had Tony Chimmel, who was very, very popular. The Fink, right? But she is, in our time, in Gen Z, and is it the next Gen Alpha? Is it like Gen Alpha, the next one? We are certainly, even for the millennials, she's in our top three right now of just excellent ring announcers who she brings a genuine passion. And some of it may be performative, knowing that if you have somebody sitting at ringside with a phone recording you because you know that you want to be able to post whatever they're recording on your social media to get attention, then you do wonder and raise an eyebrow of some of it performative. But she is certainly emotional. She seems very emotionally invested in the product, and she's fun to watch. And I will say that she seems to be, without lifting a finger in the ring, a bigger star than her boyfriend. And I'll get to more of that at the end of the show. I got to say, Ricochet is a tool. I mean, he just is a tool. And we will get to that. And I know some of you are like, where is this coming from? He's a bitter tool is what he is. Yeah, I know. I'm not just saying that to get attention. I needed more than just, you know, my fingers on a phone. I wanted to vocalize some things that happened and things I've seen out of Ricochet and what he believes and that kind of thing. We'll talk about it later. So we have Stephanie McMahon, by the way, come out at the beginning of the show. And that was a surprise. I noticed she didn't have a ring on her finger. And a lot of the speculation was that Triple H and Stephanie weren't married anymore. They've been going through a separation problems. So she didn't have a ring on her left finger. I don't know if that was by purpose, accidental, whatever, but it was noteworthy. And she comes out and, basically welcomes us to the Triple H Paul Levesque era. So I guess WWE is taking the time to tell us what era it is instead of the fans trying to decide and figure it out. WWE has declaratively told us what this era is, which is fine. And some fans have kind of moved towards that name before WWE told us that's what the era we're in. But also, I don't like WWE trying to tell us what era we're in. Usually the era we're in, you don't know you're in until after you're out of it, and then you name the period you were in. But fine. It makes sense. It is the Triple H era. It's the first, what we thought, first pay-per-view for PLE with, first WrestleMania without a McMahon. That was until Stephanie showed up. So, again, I know that she had no creative influence, you wouldn't think. But, you know, just when we thought there would be a WrestleMania without a McMahon in it or influencing it, or on it, Stephanie shows up. I'm not angry about it. It's just funny. You know, we're all talking about, oh, we're finally going to get a McMahon-less WrestleMania. And then the very first person you see is Stephanie McMahon. Oh, Lord. All right, let's get to a little bit more of the show here outside of Cody and Rock and Roman and No Austin. Okay. So Stephanie, beyond Stephanie's deal here, we get Rollins and McIntyre for the World Championship. This was as good as advertised. Punk on commentary is really, I mean, I tweeted this out too, or posted this on X, that Punk, after he's done with his in-ring career, whenever he's finally done with it, he has a career in commentary. As he said in his pipe bomb promo, 13 years ago, no one can touch him in commentary. He's really good. I mean, he just puts on the headset and he can put over talent. He has a very listenable voice. He's smart. I may not agree with him on a lot of his personal beliefs, but I can separate the two and from Phil Brooks and CM Punk. And Punk is just very good at commentary. So if he ever wants to have a secondary career post his in-ring wrapping up, he has one in that announce booth. I really enjoyed him on commentary. On a professional level, not like stupidity with Snoop Dogg, who's probably half drunk sitting there or high or whatever he was. I don't understand the love for Snoop Dogg at WrestleMania. I don't see the need. I don't ever go into WrestleMania and be like, oh man, I can't wait to see what they do with Snoop Dogg this year. I don't understand it. He's this kind of this mainstay every single year. Snoop Dogg has to be a part of it. I don't hate him, but I don't see the value in it. He's an aging, elderly rapper that hasn't been relevant in music in like 15 years. Like, I don't understand. Again, legend in the business, yes, but I don't get it. He's not Pete Rose that had a hilarious altercation for a multi-year program with Kane, which was hilarious. But like, I don't understand it. I don't see the need for it. But Snoop on commentary was a deduction. He just was, and I think that CM Punk on commentary was a massive addition. But the match we hear between Seth and Cody, or Seth and and Drew was really good. The knee played a factor in this, but it was quick. It felt like it was shortened by about 10 minutes because the match only went 10 minutes. So that was my only complaint, because it felt like they were just getting going. And the Claymores, again, this kind of plays into the original issue I had with just overall with wrestling, you know, not just WrestleMania, but just pro wrestling generally. There's way too many kickouts of finishes. And Seth Rollins kicked out of three Claymores before the fourth one finally got him and put him away, as McIntyre beats Rollins to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And Cole's talking about how he won a championship in front of fans for the first time in his life. And McIntyre was getting emotional and he had his moment, and you're thinking, okay, great. You know, even Rollins on his way out, who had a shiner on his face because he got a pretty good stiff kick to the face. We got a Rollins kind of, I was trying to read his lips to McIntyre, but it was something along the lines of "you're the man now," or, you know, "respect," or something along those lines. And you could tell it was genuine and real, whatever Rollins said to McIntyre on his way out. And so that was a cool moment. But then McIntyre's mouthing off to Punk, who's still on commentary, and Punk is, you know, firing back and saying, what do I have to do with anything? You know, and Punk is saying, or McIntyre is saying that, you know, "if you come back, I will end your career," mouthing off. Punk eventually trips up McIntyre, who lands on the announce table and then starts putting the boots to him, takes off his arm brace, hits McIntyre in the face with it. And so it was cool. Before we get to Priest, it was a cool moment for Punk. Getting physically involved is not something I thought he would do or WWE would risk, but they did. And it seems like he was well enough to at least do that. And it was, again, while Punk is not, it's not the situation we imagined Punk in at WrestleMania 40, it was at least something. And then it allowed Priest to come in. And I tell you, my guard was down. I really didn't think they were going to do this. It wasn't even on my mind. So props to creative for this. It wasn't even on my mind. And Priest comes in, takes advantage, South of Heaven, new World Heavyweight Champion, Damian Priest. And you know what? I feel bad for Drew, genuinely. He, at the same time, he did have his moment. He did become champion. That's still on his record. It was a 5-minute reign, but he still had that moment in front of fans. He did get it. It was just taken away just as quickly, which I would have loved to have seen what a Drew heel run as champion looks like. I still believe that's what I would have done. I don't love the Damian Priest cash in here, because there's more you could have done with Drew, and Drew has been your consistent quality, even rising heel over the last several months. I mean, he's done excellent work over the last several months. Excellent, where he has deserved this. But that's not the direction they're going. For some reason, they see Priest right now as the guy they need to go to. And at least he's not sending your Money in the Bank anymore. We can move on from that. But in just a few months, we'll have a new Mr. Money in the Bank. So there's that. But at least for the next few, we don't have anybody lurking with a briefcase. So that's nice. But Priest is now your world champion. The crowd was going crazy because I think they were just excited for being there in the moment with a cash-in. Rather than cheering Priest, they were cheering themselves for being there in the moment, if that makes sense. Because cash-ins are rare, and being in person for them are even rarer. So I think the fans were cheering themselves and just the excitement of the moment, not necessarily excited for Priest. But I genuinely feel bad for Drew. Like, not as a character, but as a person. Like, he can't catch an effing break. And so I feel for him, even though he did have his moment for a few minutes. So he did have it, but that's really, you know, that's kind of it's not enough. I don't think that's enough for Drew. But I will say, on the flip side, on the good part of this, you talk about, you know, heating up a Drew McIntyre CM Punk rivalry to nuclear. Some people say nuclear. It's nuclear. Okay. A little tomato, pet peeve. But it did. It heated it up in a massive way. And now you have a CM Punk Drew McIntyre rivalry that is going to be red hot. Now, the problem with this is, it's not that it didn't heat it up in a very big way and it was great in terms of that part of it, but Punk can't compete right now. So what the hell is Drew going to do for the next few months? I guess try to chase Priest, who's also going to keep Rollins, if Rollins is sticking around, if he is. Maybe we'll have a triple threat between Rollins and Priest and McIntyre at Backlash, which, by the way, guys, it's called Backlash. Triple H has removed WrestleMania from that name, so it's just called Backlash. Hallelujah. But I just don't know. If Punk's not there, you have something you can't really follow through on for another couple of months until Punk's back. So it's like, you've heated it up, but it's going to cool down because time's going to pass by. So, I mean, I'm sure they have a plan here, but this was a very, it was unexpected, and I got to give WWE their props here. All right, then we get the Pride. Apparently, they are actually called the Pride of Bobby, Montez, and Angelo with B-Fab versus the Final Testament. And, you know, Snoop Dogg was at the announce table again. It was horrific. You know, I don't think he's good on commentary. He's just not built for that, but not a lot of people are. It's not easy to do. So we got the Pride, Bobby, Montez, and Angelo beating the Final Testament in 8 minutes in a street fight. So short match in terms for WrestleMania standards, especially. And the finish was Karrion Kross got put on the table that originally Bob already broke because they put him on it. And then they had to get another table. So they've had a lot of issues with weapons over the last 24 hours. So Montez Ford hit Kross with the frog splash and Kross got beaten. Now, I think this was a bad booking decision only because the Final Testament hasn't even got a chance to get off the ground yet. We haven't even, by the way, they talked about Paul Ellering so much. Paul Ellering hasn't said a word. Maybe a few here and there, but like if he's so good and so talented, and he is, I mean, he managed the Road Warriors, like then why aren't we hearing from him? I want to hear more from him. He looks like a very intriguing guy, especially if those of us who don't even know that he managed the Road Warriors and that he can actually talk. You're not utilizing his talent. He's just a body. So I think he could be a great spokesperson on top of the fact that Kross is very good at speaking and he continues to get the legs cut out from underneath him. Anytime he gets just like two steps of momentum, WWE is like, let's stop that right here, right there. Let's stop it right where it's right there. And it's like, he hasn't had a chance to just let his damn group breathe. Let his talent come out. All right, let's move on. LA Knight, AJ Styles, this was really good. You know, a very good match here for both men. It was 12 minutes, and LA Knight beats AJ Styles. No hanky-panky, no outside interference, which was nice. It made sense. You know, Styles going for the 450 splash. Knight putting up his knees looked brutal. No botches in this match. Well done both ends. It was a very matter-of-fact big win for LA Knight. Didn't hurt AJ Styles in the least. It's about elevating Knight to that next level. And they see, I think LA Knight as a contender. I really think they see him as a world title contender. He, I still believe, could be coming to Raw. He should come to Raw. From what I understand, Triple H has said that there's going to be a draft within the next month. Now, don't hold me to it, but that's what I've heard, is the draft may not wait till fall. It could wait until only like another month. I know they're going to Saudi Arabia and all that. So it may happen just after that pay-per-view, but that's what I've heard. This match, though, LA Knight AJ Styles was a lot of fun. Hitting the BTF for the victory may have been the only finish hit of the night that wasn't kicked out of. So there was that. Again, this is what LA Knight needed. One-on-one, high-quality match, and a victory. A loss here would have been a big deal. Now, losses sometimes in wrestling don't mean anything. It's how you lose. But LA Knight could not have lost this, and he didn't. And it was a perfect victory for LA Knight to continue moving on. And it's what Cole said. It's a springboard to that next level, to greater things. And that's exactly what this was for Knight. So very well done on both ends. 12 minutes. Could have gone a few more minutes, but it was fine. I'd give this match, you know, 3.5, 4 out of 5. So all right, we then have a Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and KO U.S. Championship triple threat. And, of course, you get the very, you know, especially from Logan Paul, you get the entrances. Oh, I didn't even mention Seth's entrance, which was just, what are we doing? And people, it looked like people came out from like Mardi Gras. Not every entrance, by the way, needs to be enhanced just because it's WrestleMania. Sometimes they just do it because to do it and it looks stupid. For Rollins, I know I didn't talk about this, but I wanted to make a point. That was just like, what are we doing? it wasn't my cup of tea. That's all. Okay. But This match was, I think, also as advertised, really good. You know, it was about Logan Paul here. He took a beating at the beginning of this match with Orton and Owens beating him down. And you knew eventually they were going to turn on each other. Orton tried to RKO KO and almost did. And Owens is like, I guess we're doing this now. And then they started doing their punches to each other. That, you know, hey, the punches that Sami Zayn and KO always used to do to each other, where they're just like bashing each other in the face at 100 miles an hour, that kind of thing. And it was a lot of, but you know, it was a lot of fun seeing Orton and KO get it together. And eventually you knew it was going to break down. The Brass Knucks played a role, you know, as expected. The Brass Knucks came out, and I still love that part of Logan Paul's arsenal, are those Brass Knucks hitting Orton, hitting KO. But the Brass Knucks were kicked out of too. I mean, even the Brass Knucks had a tough night. We did also get the mascot, who ended up being I Show Speed. I have no clue who that is, but apparently it's a big YouTube star. Orton ended up kicking the mascot with an RKO, or hitting him with an RKO after he barked in his face, which made me laugh. because he was barking at Orton, and Orton kicks him. I think he was genuinely annoyed with him and pulls the costume off and then barks in his face, hits him with an RKO around the table. Oh my God, that was great. Absolutely beautiful. So the finish was Owens hitting Paul with a pop-up powerbomb, and Orton dropped Orton with a stunner, covered him. Owens went for a pop-up on Orton and countered into an RKO, which was beautiful. And then Paul threw Orton out of the ring and hit Owens with a top rope frog splash and got the victory. So 17 minutes, Logan Paul wins and celebrated with one of his drinks, one of his prime drinks, which, guys, is super, super sweet. Not sugary, but sweet. Really, again, a really good match. Logan Paul winning here made sense for me, because Logan Paul is the guy that's on the rise. Having Orton or KO win would have been feel good, but I think it's about building new stars. We're always worried about building new stars. It's got to build new stars. Well, you don't build new stars by having your rising star lose at the top show of the year. So Logan Paul, I know he's not there a whole lot, but now we don't have a absentee Universal WWE Undisputed Universal Champion, so that's gone. If Logan Paul's the only somewhat absentee champion, I think we can live with it. He's also delivers every single time he's in the ring. My God. Even Cole said he's never seen anyone pick up the industry like this ever. And I would even agree that he may have a superseded Angle in that regard. I mean, Logan Paul is just got, if he wants to ever make this truly a full-time deal, he has got this. I mean, sky's the limit for this dude. Absolutely incredible athlete. He's starting to understand his character. His promos are continuing to improve. And I love his title reign here. I have no issue with it whatsoever. I don't need Orton or KO as champion. I understand that KO hasn't been champion, a singles champion, in a few years, but like his star power would not have been elevated by winning the U.S. title last night. Logan Paul needed to win. All right. Now let's talk about one final match, because we already talked about the main event here. We already talked about Roman Reigns and Cody at length. So the final thing I'll talk about today is Io Sky and Bayley. This exceeded my expectations. The match here, I came out of this saying to myself, where the hell has this version of Io Sky been the last 6 months? Where was this when we were complaining about how boring she is? She's underutilized. She's not shown. She's hidden in the Judgment Day, damage control group. Where was all that? The promos that were done backstage were well done. There's a lot of well done video packages throughout the show that really for almost every program. It was almost weird, because you knew that they had to get those two people together in the same room to shoot what they shot. So you're like, it felt a little bit phony in a way. You know what I mean? Like, they were clearly post-producing a lot of stuff that they had to get those two people in the ring or in backstage or wherever they're doing their video production. They had to get them there together to do all these, you know, kind of theatrics. Does that make sense? But nonetheless, it's still very well done. Io Sky, her promos, I mean, I know they're subtitles, but it works for Shinsuke, works for her. So that to me was very effective. In ring, she killed it last night. Bayley winning made total sense. She put her down finally with the rose plant, got the victory. Of course, Bayley, the Bayley to Belly was kicked out of once or twice, I think. And again, Io Sky just was absolutely killing it. out there. And same with Bayley. This match was and rivaled and maybe even be better than Becky and Rhea was. They over-delivered in 14 minutes. Bayley gets the feel-good victory. So a lot of title changes here at WrestleMania. A lot of title changes. Very good match. I think it caught people, a lot of people sleeping on this match. And the crowd was really behind Bayley, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching her as champion. Now, last final thing, non-wrestling, WrestleMania related, Mr. Ricochet. So, you know, Ricochet put out a tweet, and he has said that, you know, he was upset that there was no slammy for him, right? He was upset because the slammy was, here's what he said. He said, quote, "Pretty crazy, me and Logan Paul didn't even make the list for contender for OMG moment of the year. But I understand that it's becoming normal for Ricochet to give you OMG moments." And I responded that it's more than just moves, right? It's deeper than just the move. And he was not happy with that. And he said that, he said OMG with a emoji. Shut up. And I said to him, "Wow, I'm convinced. A well thought out, eloquent response. You're obviously incredibly gifted inside the ring, but if you can't understand why fans haven't truly connected with your character beyond the quote guy that does cool moves, then we can't help you." And he said to me, Ricochet, "Oh no, that's where you messed up. You think that I care enough to actually think of a response to such idiocracy? I don't." I don't. So here, in the words of famous Dijak WWE, "Eat this ratio." And I responded to him, "Yes, you don't care enough while at the same time responding. That certainly proves your point pretty convincingly. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and assume your account has been hacked by a 15-year-old girl. No grown man can honestly respond with an emoji and shut up. I assume your next response is as if." Meaning like, as if. I mean, he responded like a child. And he can't take a little criticism. Does this dude not understand why fans don't connect with him? Or is he just so angry because he feels he's such a superior athlete and does these cool moves? We're all supposed to just bow at his feet and go, "Yeah, oh my God, you are just so great." No, hey, dude, here's the problem. You rely too much in ring and not enough on character development. You rely too much on the fans being pleased with your maneuvers and not enough with actually connecting with your character. Do you not understand the difference? I mean, you're the one in the industry. How do you not understand this difference? Or maybe you do, and you just don't have the intellect to actually debate me on this. So you say you don't, you know, it's idiocracy. I don't have the time to respond, and then respond like a fool. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? I was going to come back. I had a whole boatload of stuff I was going to respond with him. If he wanted to get into it, I could have destroyed him. And I'm not being arrogant about this, but there's so much I could have just said to him. And I didn't. What those things were, you know, I was going to, if he had come back with me with any more just stupid answers, I mean, he couldn't debate me on the issue. So he's just like, it's not worth responding to, right? That's how you know someone has nothing to say, is when they say that they're not worth your time. It means you don't have the intellect to actually debate them. That's all that means. It's a cover for your lack of intelligence. It just is, right? Whenever you start cussing at somebody or say, "Oh, it's not worth me debating or me responding to you," all that means is you are exposing your lack of intelligence. That's what that means. That's the truth. Now, I was going to say to him, you know, hey, shouldn't you spend less time worrying about what people are saying on X and more time getting ready for your WrestleMania? Wait, never mind. I had that in the pocket. I was also going to respond to him if he wanted to start getting into the mud. I was going to say, you know, the most interesting thing about your career over the last 5 years has been who you're dating. I mean, he couldn't respond how I'm wrong. He gets angry, and I mean, some of his tweets are just stupid. I mean, I don't know what it is. He gets angry. I remember he was standing up for who was it? Maxine Dupri, who was getting booed at a house show. "Oh, be better." Does he know what industry he's in? Is he that sensitive of a dude? I don't care how good you are in the ring. You don't understand basic fundamentals of fan psychology. And you also feel entitled enough to tell us how to respond? How does that work exactly? Welcome to the internet, dude. I mean, I'm sorry. Ricochet right now has proven nothing more than him being just a very lackluster intellectual wrestler. I'm sorry. If he cannot understand and grasp that concept that, yeah, he may be superior in the ring. I mean, he kind of proves his own point, right? Like, or disproves it by saying that he is a great wrestler and yet he doesn't get an OMG moment. Well, the OMG moments come from the fans. And if the fans aren't connecting with somebody that is actually one of the best in-ring gymnastics, which is what he is. He's an in-ring gymnast, but also incredibly gifted. Then maybe you're missing something at a deeper level, bruh. Maybe it's the fact that you don't have a character on the microphone that the fans can actually relate to, and that it's more than surface level. Fans look at you as the guy that does cool moves, and I don't want to hear that. No, they do. Tell me one person that's emotionally invested in Ricochet beyond like, wow, what cool move are we going to see tonight? Can he do a 1080 splash? No, fans don't give a damn about his character and his story. They want to see entertain me, clown. That's what they see when you see your character. End of story. So there, I think I said my point as if he's actually listening. I doubt it. But anyway, if you want to go see our little scuffle on X, it's in my mentions and replies and all that. So, all right, that'll do it for me tonight, guys, today. It's morning, but hope you enjoyed WrestleMania. Obviously, massive show coming later today with Anthony DeMarco. We'll cover even more in depth, get his thoughts on WrestleMania. We'll cover Monday Night Raw tomorrow night, mailbag on Wednesday. It just keeps on coming as we get post-WrestleMania 40, start looking ahead already to WrestleMania 41. And that's not too far away. It always comes faster than we realize. So that is not too far away. We can already start thinking about matches. One of them seems to be Rock Roman, but maybe they take a different path. Triple H did say that Roman's next story is going to, quote, blow our minds. Whatever the hell that means, we'll find out. So there's a lot coming, guys. Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. Hopefully it delivers unlike the last few years. Consider going on Patreon if you want to go ad-free at patreon.com/WWE. Also at Apple Podcasts, you can go to there and get ad-free everything with a one-week free trial. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.